$39 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at FarmJournalTV.com.
Rain-X wipers are the number one wiper blades in America. That means all kinds of drivers choose Rain-X. Big drivers in small cars choose Rain-X. Small drivers in big cars choose Rain-X. Drivers with long hair and short commutes choose Rain-X. Drivers with short hair and long commutes choose Rain-X. Drivers with pets on board, babies on board, and bored babies on board choose Rain-X. Basically, drivers who love a clear view of the road all choose Rain-X wipers, the number one wiper blades in America.
Okay, I have to tell you. I was just looking on eBay, where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your
windshield wipers? eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Millions of finds, each with a story. eBay. Things, people, love.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The government shutdown in day 20 impacting furloughed federal workers and Americans who rely on government services, including farmers. Joe Maxwell is a fourth-generation farmer and president of Farm Action Fund.
While we're in harvest, it's now that farmers begin to prepare their fields and to make plans for next spring, for spring planting. So it's really a critical time for the government to be shut down. Really puts the farmers in a horrible personal stress, financial stress for their farms.
The Senate taking up a vote again later today aimed at ending the shutdown. Hamas has returned another body and it is in Israeli custody where testing will take place, trying to verify if it's one of the deceased hostages. President Trump today threatening to eradicate Hamas, he says, if the violence against Gazans doesn't stop after reports by the State Department that Hamas has violated the ceasefire deal. This is ABC News. Problems persist after the Amazon Web Services outage today, disrupting popular websites worldwide. A wide variety of companies, too, including the Wall Street Journal, Roblox, Facebook, and several airlines, saying they have problems.
Amazon Web Services says the problem is tied to its domain name service. DNS is the technology that translates what you type into a web browser, like Facebook.com, into an IP address, which tells the computer where to go on the internet. While Amazon had said the issue had been fully mitigated. Just after 3:30 a.m. Eastern Time, the website Down Detector is reporting another spike in outages a few hours later. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
The Supreme Court announced today it will take up a case centering on whether people who regularly smoke marijuana can legally own guns. It's the latest firearm case in front of the high court since it expanded gun rights in 2022. Arguments will be heard in 2026. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code COOL to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code COOL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code COOL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Now this news update on Wisconsin Radio Network, filling in for Ted Allen. I'm Raymond Newpert. It was another massive rally nationwide for No Kings 2 on Saturday. Bob Haig has an update from here in Wisconsin.
Organizers say President Trump's actions are like those of a monarch. The crowd at Milwaukee's Cathedral Square Park estimated at 16,000, with 15,000 on Madison's Capitol Square, hundreds more in communities across Wisconsin. But in a statement, Republican Party of Wisconsin Chair Brian Schimming called the protests a distraction from the Democrat shutdown, accusing Democrats of appeasing far-left groups over providing needed resources to Americans. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The annual report from End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin shows domestic violence homicides took place in 28 Wisconsin counties last year. This is Executive Director Monique Minkins.
We noticed that there had been this increase in domestic violence homicide suicides where the harm doer takes the life of the victim and themselves, and they're mostly men. In fact, 77% of the harm doers were men.
In 2024, there were 110 domestic violence-related homicides in Wisconsin. The full report can be found online at End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin's website. Wisconsin Congressman Brian Stile wants to give President Donald Trump a medal. The Congressional Gold Medal is the highest civilian award bestowed by the Congress, and Representative Van Orden has introduced legislation to award President Trump with it. The 3rd District Republican says that's in recognition of Trump's record of ending wars around the world, including a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, and also that he didn't get this year's Nobel Peace Prize. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great-tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds today with showers developing in the afternoon. Our high temperature in the lower 60s as our winds turn to the southwest, gusting around 30 miles per hour. Evening showers then becoming partly cloudy, lower 40s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now it's 64.
Soybean meal helped the bean market start the week with solid gains. That helped corn prices push slightly higher with trade and wheat futures mixed. Lean hogs also mixed. Feeder cattle wrapped up a choppy session with mixed prices. And live cattle futures got back a chunk of Friday's losses.
Live. Paddling upstream toward an uptrend via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we begin with a conversation with Connor Bridgman from AgMarket.net. Later, Kerry Artak from Artak Advisory and WickedStocks.com. Directly following the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Champ Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Welcome to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us. On this Monday afternoon, hey, is it okay to stumble a little bit in the open on Monday afternoon?
It's okay for you any day, brother. You've earned it.
Don't make it easy on me. Come on now.
You've strung together a series of W's all over the years. Every once in a while, sure, that's just fine.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, put that one on the right side of the column. I mean, hey, just speaking of wins and losses, yeah. Holy smokes, we got us a game 7 coming.
Hey, all right, do we?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. Seattle and Toronto, a big game 7 on the way. I mean, neither one of those teams can quit hitting home runs. I mean, it has been absolutely fantastic fun to watch those games, no question.
I think we're probably rooting for the Jays, aren't we, in support of our good friend, the Alberta Breeze?
Yeah, it's American League. I don't care.
Oh, all right. Fair enough. Yeah. Well, you and I are in the same boat then.
It's really hard for me to say this, but I've got to just because it's National League. Go Dodgers.
Ooh. Now, see, that's worse than the tongue tied earlier. That's way worse.
I'm sorry.
Hey, also, you notice I stopped caring about sports, and the Chiefs blew out the Raiders, shut them out, 31-0. How do you like them apples? I found out like just a little while ago today. My strategy's working.
That's
the thing. This is why I don't pay attention to sports, because I give my heart away and they break it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes, I know what you mean. I am a Cubs fan. I am a Cyclone fan. I know exactly what you are talking about. Jeez, don't make me mad. Let's get to the markets.
Well, Chip, we just started the week mixed. Traders are looking to both the supply and demand sides of the wheat market for direction, and neither side of the balance sheet is demanding a price response. Export inspections of wheat in the week ended October 16 totaled 481 million metric tons, in line with trade expectations. Wheat shipments this year are running 20% ahead of last year's pace, but that isn't good enough to lift wheat prices from contract lows. December soft red winter wheat futures opened slightly higher and at Friday's high, traded on both sides of that pivotal level and returned to the opening range for the close. December hard red winter wheat futures were 1.5 cents lower at 490. December SOW wheat up a penny to 504.75. December spring wheat closed at 548.5. That one is unchanged on the day, Chip.
Yeah, all right. Hey, I don't know who wrote the wheat news for you, but they probably had better pay closer attention next time, because it wasn't 481 million metric tons of wheat export.
Oh, that wouldn't be right, would it?
Yeah. It's 481,000. 481 million would be like a record or something.
Yeah, it's like we'll just go home for the season, and that's it. That's all we need. We're done.
Yep.
One shot. Corn started the day steady and traded down to support at 420, with hedge selling pulling prices down. Prices recovered to close with modest gains and near the high of the day. It was the highest settlement in December corn since September 25. Export inspections corn in the week ended October 16 totaled 1.318 million metric tons.
Yes.
That one was in line with trade expectations. Corn market is also taking note of disappointing harvest results east and west of the Mississippi River. A pro farmer survey late last week generated a national average corn yield estimate of 178.5 bushels per acre, just under last year's 179.3. December corn futures, 0.75 cents higher at 423.25. March corn up 0.5 cents to 437. May corn futures closed at 445.25, up 0.25 cents. This is what I meant when I said paddling upstream, Chip. We're getting somewhere, but man, it feels tough.
Oh, it is. It is. There's no question about it, especially in this corn market. I mean, even if it is a 178.5, all those extra acres make it a big crop. So dealing with a big supply.
Soybean export inspections totaled 1.474 million metric tons, easily topping trade expectations. There is a softening in trade tensions between the U.S. and China. Trade teams with top-level officials will be meeting in Malaysia this week to walk back last week's escalation in the conflict and to get the talks back on schedule for Presidents Trump and Xi to meet in South Korea at the end of the month. Solid gains in bean meal futures helped bean prices trade higher. Even bean oil futures found a way to work to the upside after starting the day lower. November beans opened fractionally higher, but on session lows rallied to close above 10:30 for the first time since September 18. Novi beans 12.25 higher, but 10.31¾. Jan beans up 13.25 to 10.50 even. March beans closed at 10.64. That's up 13.25 cents, Chip.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a nice performance in the soy complex there today. We'll finish up the markets when we come back for the next segment. Right now, let's bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. How you doing, Jack?
Man, I'm having a great day. What about you guys?
Well, doing okay. What'd you make of how the corn market traded today, buddy?
Well, the corn market was kind of sad. Really didn't do too much all day, I didn't think. Kind of chopping back and forth. Did close a little bit higher, but kind of a disappointing performance given the bean rally. Of course, the beans was all about President Trump and what he had to say. And that doesn't apply to corn. So the fact is the corn is hanging in while we're at harvest is probably a good sign, but still we're locked in a sideways range.
Yeah. Yeah, President Trump with another comment about China buying beans. The market is still watching for comments like that from President Trump, isn't it?
Boy, it really is. And, you know, we're getting pretty fluffy now. Going to have to watch for a letdown. There's no guarantee that Trump and Xi are going to talk at these meetings or that soybeans will be addressed. And that could be a potential source of letdown. And even if they do address it, it could be a letdown just anyway because the market's rallied so much.
Yeah. Yeah. I like how you described how soybeans have gotten a little fluffy in here. Some of those original upside objectives are being hit. January at 1050, and you get that July up to 1090. That's, like you said, that's been a decent rally, Jack.
Yeah, it has. It's really been pretty impressive, tell you the truth. A little better than I thought it would be. Especially considering there's been no confirmation that the meeting's going to actually take place. But,
yep.
Hey, the market needed this. Gives the farmers a chance to sell, and they probably ought to start thinking about it.
Gotcha. Jack, always a good conversation. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
No problem. Thank you.
All right, Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. All right, Connor Bridgman, AgMarket.net is up next here on AgriTalk.
Hey, Jim.
Bob.
Quite a season, huh?
Yeah, there was a lot stacked against us, but that's where having a solid plan and, you know, data-driven insights instead of just guessing really made the difference.
Yeah. Yep.
Looked at soil types and other research to make sure every acre had the right seed to maximize ROI potential.
That's great. I was referring to the Greyhounds being undefeated.
Oh. Cropland Seed. Anything but typical.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive. Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you use insulin or have had hypoglycemic events, you may qualify. Call US Med now to learn more.
800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
The truth is hard to come by these days unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us. We are going to get to that conversation with Connor here in just a moment. First, Davis, let's go ahead and wrap up that market news.
You bet. I've got December cotton today, 12 points lower at 64.16. Over to the livestocks, the cattle complex in recovery mode today after Friday's sharply lower prices, driven by President Trump's comments about efforts to lower beef prices. December live cattle posted an inside trading day with a low range open and a mid-range close. Novi Feeders, choppy trade today with a close just above the opening range. December live cattle, $1.82.5 higher all told, $2.43.65. November feeders up 97.5 cents to $3.72.67.5. And over to the snouts, December hog futures down 30 cents today, $83.07.5. And Feb hogs down a nickel, $84.72.5. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much. Hey, Davis. I know you heard it this morning, the conversation that we had with Senator Grassley.
I did.
U.S. Senator Grassley from Iowa.
Yeah.
When I asked him about, okay, so what's your reaction to President Trump's ideas about pulling beef prices down?
Yeah.
It's not very often that the good senator says something like this, but he came right out and said, you know, I think the president ought to keep his mouth shut on this one.
Yes, yes. Well, and, yeah. Okay, along those lines, we didn't get to ask the senator, but I wondered, as you guys were talking about that, does the president make a distinction between soybean producers and cattle producers? I know that there are those who have both. But at large, I mean, there's a distinction there. What's good for one isn't necessarily good for the other. If you want to help farmers in general, boy, that's a tricky one.
Yeah, yeah, that you got that right. Well, if you want to hear Jim Wiesmeyer's take on it, go back to Friday's free-for-all.
Yeah.
And when he came out and said, listen, if you're wondering who Trump is for, it's consumers when it comes to policy issues like this.
Yep.
It may not be the farmers. I mean, look what he did to egg prices. There were guys out there still struggling to rebuild flocks to lay eggs, and they were importing eggs like crazy, and the price of eggs did drop.
Yeah.
So, yeah, something to watch. All right, let's get to Connor Bridgman, agmarket.net. Connor, it is good to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm doing good. Happy Monday. Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah, glad you're here, man. Glad you are here. Headlines. Everywhere we look, Connor, there are headlines coming out of the Trump administration. If it's not on here's what we're going to do to, quote-unquote, fix cattle prices, here's how we're going to ramp things up against China and then walk things back. I mean, the markets are still very sensitive to these headlines, aren't they?
Absolutely, right? We had the cattle headline Friday. We had some stuff come out Sunday. And then today, right, we saw meetings full steam ahead. He's going to meet with President Xi at the end of October.
At the end of October,
right?
Yep.
And then what did he mention? He mentioned we want China to buy soybeans. He mentioned rare earth metals. I think fentanyl was mentioned. And then he threw on that potential 155% tariffs come November 1st unless we make a deal. So in terms of soybean prices, we've got a lot riding on if that meet, right? A week ago, that meeting was off. Now it's back on. And we've got a lot riding on it. And on top of that, right, it's first notice day for November soybeans as well. So important moves in the next 10 days.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. Did you like the way that Jack Scoville described this bean market? It's gotten a little fluffy up here.
A little fluffy. I like that. I might steal that.
Well, I'm definitely going to steal it. But he's right. We have seen, I mean, it's not this big, monstrous, look at all the acres that we lost kind of rally, but the market has been working to the upside. It deserves our attention, doesn't it, Connor?
Absolutely, right? We're getting at that top end of the range, and with a lot, I mean, let's call it what it is. It's a lot of uncertainty how we're going to move forward. And you mentioned just the market sensitivity to trade headlines. I went back and looked at just, you know, Trump's true socials or tweets or what have you, right? If we go in order, August 10th, October 1st, October 15th, oh, I missed October 10th, right? We're up 23 cents, up 12 cents. on October 10th was when the meeting was off. We were down 15. And then 15th, he said something positive and the market didn't really react. But, you know, that's kind of the environment we're in right now. And that's what's moving the market.
Yeah. It's amazing that here it is, October 20th, and headlines from the Trump administration have got the markets are giving those priority, giving them priority over combine reports, Connor.
It's just the environment we live in. I gotta say, when it's we just see these pops. Number one, I'm not complaining about beans up 13. Don't take that. But it can just be a little frustrating to trade this market or to try and get it some direction right now. Right on top of the no government reports as well.
Yeah. Yep.
A few government
soybean
reports.
Meal. Soybean meal has caught a bid. Why?
Oh, soybean meal. I mean, number one, I think it's just a positive in the soy complex. We did see, right, if we're talking about headlines, right, we saw negative comment from Trump about used cooking oil, right? We're not going to take any used cooking oil. I got to think that's positive to crushing soybeans and getting that move ahead. But really, we're seeing, you know, the whole soy complex feels pretty good, at least today.
Yeah, okay. All right. What are you hearing from farmers, your clients, when it comes to soybean harvest reports? I mean, we're getting deep into soybean harvest now. I would say 2/3, 70% done, something like that. What do you feel like the national average bean yield is pushing up from what we got in September, sliding down? What do you feel?
Yeah, I did. I saw an estimate that they thought 74% done last year at this time, right? And take these numbers with a grain of salt. Last year we were 81%, which catches me off guard because me in Central Illinois, soybean harvest has essentially been done for two weeks, right? They got after soybeans hard, and then we saw the corn come out after that. And so, you know, I'll give you in Central Illinois, the guys I talked to, they were pleasantly surprised with what their soybean yields were. But yeah. I think that's maybe a testament to how dry we were in August and to how negative some guys thought we could see for a potential soybean crop. Area, right, where we saw a very sporadic August rains. If you caught that August rain, you got some good soybean yields, right? Heard some great numbers. But across the board, we're going to be a little bit – I guess we're lower than last year in Illinois in terms of soybean yield. But it's not – you know, I still heard some good yields.
Yeah.
Just a lot, you know, that were average.
Gotcha. Is everything finding a home there in Central Illinois, the beans?
You know – really, and maybe it's a testament to yields being down. Corn yields, again, same story where heard some great corn yields, heard a lot of good corn yields, right? Something maybe similar to last year, I guess I'd say. And so with that and with soybean harvest being on first, is most everything found a home. I haven't heard any big lines at the co-op, but that's probably also a testament to how well this farmer's socking it away, right? So many more bags. Mostly corn, but you know you're seeing soybean bags out, which you know 2 years ago would have been unheard of. And so, you know, guys are put if they've got the storage, they're putting it in storage.
Yeah. Well, and some of those bins that were used for corn and were probably going to be used for corn. Okay, the corn's going in a bag, but the beans are going in the bin. In that case, there's some creativity happening around Decatur trying to get some beans to move too, huh?
Yeah, did you see? I heard about it, and then I saw the Reuters article as well, right? They're just doing free DP, free storage, which isn't uncommon, but it is uncommon that we saw it this early, right? And I think it's a testament that this farmer's not letting go. We saw, I hesitate to say it's a week basis, but a week basis for Illinois, right? I know guys in North Dakota, you know, they'd scoff if I called what Decatur basis is weak. But yeah, we saw them roll out free storage just to get it moving. So interesting to see, right? Free DP, some guys love it. Make sure you know, make sure you know they're not offering it because they just love the U.S. farmer, right? They've got contracts to fill and they need beans to move. But, yeah, interesting to see in October, free DP.
Yeah, yep. There's another way to get that to happen. You can just bid up.
There you go, right? Absolutely. And that's the negative on free storage, right? That's why they're doing it, so they don't have to bid up.
But. Yeah, protect those margins. I mean, they got to do it, too. They got to do it, too. I get it. All right. Stick with us. We are in the middle of a conversation now with Connor Bridgman from AgMarket.net. We're going to take a look at some more of the demand side of the market, what's happening domestically and on the exports. We'll do that next with Connor here on AgriTalk.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. Where December HRW wheat futures were 1.5 cents lower at 490. December SRW wheat up a penny to 504.75. December corn futures 0.75 cents higher at 423.25. March corn up a 0.5 cents, 437. November soybean futures 12.25 cents higher at 1031.75. March beans closed at 1064. That's up 13.25 cents. These cotton today, 12 points lower, 64.16. To the livestocks. December fat cattle, $1.80, 2.5 higher at 243.65. Novi feeders up 97.5 cents to 372.67.5. And December lean hog futures down 30 cents to 83.07.5. Visit tryprofarmer.com for more.
Wake up.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Farmers, thinking about doing cover crops? Christina Olson is pleased to announce cover crop and forage planting services this fall. Adding a living root onto your valued land can improve soil health, build organic matter, residue management, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, as well as increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line. Find her on Facebook at Christina's Cover Crops, offering winter wheat, rye, and to Cali.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy, and they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds today with showers developing in the afternoon. Our high temperature in the lower 60s. As our winds turn to the southwest, gusting around 30 miles per hour. Evening showers then becoming partly cloudy, lower 40s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpa'sbbqshop.com. Right now it's 64.
opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
Sing a little bit on AgriTalk now.
For the ladies. Oh!
Couldn't do it this morning.
Could
the senator was going to be
this
on.
Morning.
You can't do that for Grassley. It's not appropriate.
But for
Connor,
Connor
can take it. Connor knows
Connor
just what to do with
it.
That.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, Connor. Appreciate you.
Love it. Love it. All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis. And, of course, we are in the middle of a conversation with Connor Bridgman, agmarket.net. Connor, to be fair on the conversation that we were having there at the end of the last segment, bean basis has firmed up in central Illinois, hasn't it?
Yes.
So what is the cash market telling us? What is the structure of the futures market? When you take all that into consideration, what signals are you picking up?
Yeah, definitely looking at corn and soybean basis. Corn basis especially, we're very much regionalized, right? In the western corn belt, it's still pretty weak. We're seeing it creeping up in the eastern corn belt, and then soybean basis as well. And so I want to say we're seeing basis rally because we could see some type of export demand. I'd say it's more just based on lack of farmer selling, right? We got to keep the wheels greased, and we're just these prices, especially what basis got down to like a 50 under here in central Illinois, probably at its weakest. We see guys, they're not going to sell that, right? They're going to store it at the elevator or they're going to sock it away. And so now that we're getting out of harvest, right, we got to get something. The futures, nice pop in soybeans today, but generally speaking, the futures market hasn't done enough to incentivize selling, especially not in corn. And so then basis has kind of got to do the work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's always up to the cash market to get the hardest part of the work done for the year when it comes to getting grain allocated to where it needs to be. And domestic demand, the crush numbers from NOPA that we had for September, I thought were really good. I like the domestic use that we've got going in beans right now, Connor. It's part of the reason that the meal move here recently has got me a bit surprised. With all the meal coming on the market, I would think that'd be a little bit negative for us. But something's gotten into the crush market, and the demand from the crushers is really good, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Right, we're seeing it. Yeah, just looking at soy crush, looking at processor bids, we're seeing it bounce, kind of from the lows. But yeah, it'd be nice, seasonally we could see a rally too. It'd be nice to see something going into this winter. But again, right, we got an elephant in the room when we're talking soybeans. Main thing that matters is what are we going to see in terms of soybean exports?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and the thing is, it doesn't matter if Rotterdam shows up as a big buyer. It doesn't matter if Indonesia shows up. Until it says that China's buying beans, the big money in the markets probably isn't going to react to it.
Not at all. Not at all. When we're talking soybean exports, let's say worst fears are realized. China doesn't buy a single U.S. soybean. Right. A lot of guys make the argument that, then the rest of the world's got to come to the United States and we'll see that shift. And yes, we will. But there's going to be some pain just in between once we get that demand kind of shifted. And, the other just speaking of other countries looking at corn, we saw tariffs get slapped on Colombia, which we don't talk about Colombia a lot in the ag space. But, they are they're number four U.S. corn importer. Right. They're about a quarter of what Mexico does, but still top five corn importer.
Yeah, we need to definitely pay attention there. Okay, we talked about soybean harvest reports. What did you hear from corn, or what are you hearing from the guys harvesting corn?
Yeah, I got it. You know, we had a nice rain over the weekend, 2 inches at my house. But wow. middle of this week, we're going to be hard pressed to find a whole lot of anything standing. Right, we're mostly going to have everything out by Wednesday, and then corn yields. Generally, it's the same. Right, it seems like the later planted stuff did a little bit better, but yields were pretty good. Right, I find it hard pressed. I'm in Christian County. I'd be shocked if we beat last year's yield, right? I think it's going to be close. I'm not saying it's any type of a disaster where I am, but I just have a hard time thinking we're going to hit what we did last year.
Okay. All right. Do you feel like we're seeing that reflected in the – well, hey, let's go to this. Pro Farmer at the end of last week did a survey, reached out. I think they had like 1,500 responses. It wasn't a huge response, but it was something that we could pay attention to. Lane Acree there, a Pro Farmer, crunched the numbers on it, and it suggests a national average corn yield of 178.5, just below last year's 179.3. Do you think the market is trading something like that right now, Connor?
I don't. In my opinion, I don't think we're trading anything that low. I think we're about 2-3 bushel off what the USDA has us at is what it feels like we're trading. I'm basing that just looking at where, you know, we didn't have a October WASDE, but just looking, you know, where estimates were in these different trades put in. I don't think we're trading anything below a 180 at this time.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we've got some work to do to figure it all out. Connor, what if we don't get a November report? I mean, I know that's a long ways off, but so far I've been impressed, encouraged. I'm not exactly sure which word I should put on it. I think I'm going to go with encouraged on how the markets have been trading without the constant flow of USDA info or the October WASDE and crop production. But if we have to go another month without a crop production report, the market's going to show some stress for info, isn't it?
I think so. And at the very least, right, the past 60 days, this corn market has been very range-bound, right? Today we're up 0.75 cents. You know, we've traded right around that 420 number. Gosh, it feels like all of harvest, right? A little, I think, 411 on the low. And then if we can break through a 430 or 432 where that gap is, things will be good. But if we don't see a government report, you know, I struggle to think what's our other catalyst going into Jan 1st that could get this market excited. And if we don't see that, I got to feel like it could be a little bit of a grind going into the next year.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they know it. I'm not saying that I think that they would put together a special effort to get a November report done, but I know that they are aware of how the markets might be looking for information on an update on how this corn crop turned out in particular. So even if we don't get the government open, they might be able to figure out some way somehow to get us some information there, hopefully anyway. Yeah. The other thing that's coming out there that we continue to talk about is once the government does get reopened, trade aid, something along some financial aid for farmers. Does that have much influence on their marketing decisions, Connor?
I think it would have a lot of influence just because, you know, a lot of marketing decisions this time of year is going to be based on cash flow, right? Do we need to sell before the end of the year, around the end of the year, or something like that? If we see some money going to the market, right, I think that probably probably raises some sales, right? If guys are habitually, you know, their marketing plan is they're going to kick the can down the road, well, you know, that probably gives them the opportunity to do it. And then, you know, also going forward, as I look at I'm early to the ball game here, but just looking at next year acreage mix, right? We planted 98 million acres of corn this year. Input prices are going up. You start putting a pencil to it that we might not see some big corn acre numbers for next year. But if we have some, you know, if we have some economic aid that's thrown in the mix, well, suddenly if it's 50-50, right, what's the farmer love to plant? So that could definitely change things too.
Yeah. Yeah. Impact on the marketing of the 25 crop and an impact on the acreage mix for the 26 crop makes this, it not only the fact that a payment is coming, but the size of the payment. And in the past, that MFP payment back in Trump 1.0 was very much focused on soybeans. If they spread the wealth out a little bit, it's going to make that decision that much more difficult on how they're going to put this together, Connor.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. Yep. So, all right, real quick, how do you see the market trading between now and the end of the year?
Yeah, well, we got Trump meeting with China end of this month. That one could have some big ramifications, right? And then the other wild card, right, if we get the government back open and we could see a friendly or some type of unexpected USDA report, you know, that could cause some fireworks, but outside of that, right, the farmer still owns a big chunk of this crop that if we see, you know, if we see a 20-cent rally in corn in the next week, I got to think it triggers some selling to where, you know, we're going to need something to break out of that range. It could be a little bit of a grind barring some of the headlines out of China or something that catches off guard in terms of USDA report.
Gotcha. Connor, good stuff, buddy. Thanks for coming on again. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Have a good one, guys.
All right, Connor Bridgman, agmarket.net. All right, what's all of this done to the charts? We're going to find out next. We've got Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory, and Wicked Stocks here on AgriTalk.
Want to get smart?
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Turn your book idea into publishing gold.
800-215-6818. 800-215-6818. That's 800-215-6818.
Remember when they used to ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? At Bank of America, we ask every day, what would you like the power to do? When you work here, you help build businesses, inspire communities, and forge legacies. And now we've raised our U.S. minimum wage to $25 an hour. So the opportunity to do more also comes with competitive pay. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/25. Bank of America, proud to be an equal opportunity employer.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm, and Chuck McDowell, definitely not an attorney. This is Chuck. Do you feel stupid for buying a timeshare? Don't. It's not your fault. You were most likely told you could rent it, and it was a great financial investment. And the deal was available today only. If this happened to you, contact your resort or Wesley Financial Group for help today.
Call Wesley now for your free exit information kit. 800-791-1313. 800-791-1313.
David was in big trouble with the IRS.
At first, I didn't owe that much, but after this year, it was out of control.
Then David called Get a Tax Lawyer.
Right away, they were like, oh yeah, looks like you're qualified to save.
Get a Tax Lawyer went to work.
Should have called way sooner.
Get a Tax Lawyer has helped thousands like David fight the IRS and get a fresh start.
Call 800-745-3070. That's 800-745-3070.
Power Core and List Corn.
Ooh, look at all the trophies.
Yes. Power Core and List beats competitors with a 7.7 bushel per acre yield advantage. Three distinct modes of pest control action and unsurpassed herbicide flexibility mean above ground pests and weeds can't win.
But what if they try?
They wouldn't dare. Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use database uses photo matching technology across multiple social media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite. because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.org.
Join us as we celebrate three decades of Commodity Classic, agriculture's largest farmer-led event, February 25th through 27th. Experience game-changing solutions, connect with thousands of forward-thinking farmers, and explore innovations from over 400 companies, all focused on powering your farm forward with efficiency and profitability. Housing and registration opens November 6th. Don't miss 30 years of agricultural excellence in the heart of Texas.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936. Again, 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk on this Monday afternoon. That means it's time to welcome back Carrie Artak, Artak Advisory and Wicked Stocks. How you doing, Carrie?
I'm doing great, Chip. How you doing?
Doing real fine, real fine.
Good to hear.
Don't forget, you can take a look at the work that Carrie and his team do on the commodity side. Go to artakadvisory.com and take a look at what Carrie does on the equity side, on the stocks. Go to wickedstocks.com and take a look at it there. All right, buddy, go ahead and get us started. What you going to focus on?
December corn. We're right at the edge of a one-year channel top. It really defines the kind of the bear trend for the last year. We've been consolidating now for the last few weeks, really, but it's at 428 even. We closed today at 423 and a quarter. And if we can get up and over 428 even on Friday, settled the week above that meaningful line study, I see a good low, not only through the rest of the year, but probably into next spring. I'd have 443 half as a 3 to 5 week target. And over the next 3 to 5 months, 479 even wouldn't surprise me. That is a 3-year descending channel top. So we're not out of the woods long term. This would be really kind of a what I would call a midterm rally, a counter trend rally in the midst still of a longer term 3-year bear market. But 479 even would be the objective. That is our pivot through 26. If we can get over that in the next few months, then it looks like 26 is shaping up as a strong year. But until then, closing above 428 even, we've got 479 even as a 3 to 5 month target. Until then, we can fall away from here quite easily. I've been mentioning 385 even as that August 24 low on the weekly charts. That remains in play over the next 3 to 5 months below 428 even. We don't have a sell signal in play right now in terms of weakness. We can, though, easily fall back to 406 even from here over the next 3 to 5 weeks, where we could bottom out on a weekly basis. And if we close below 406 even, then yes, 385 even, a clear-cut 3 to 5 week downside objective where we actually could double bottom into next spring. So 428 even, a big pivot point through the rest of the year, and we're trading just below it right now. On to December lean hogs. We had a 3 to 5 week sell signal about 3 weeks ago below what is right around 88 even right now, and we are trading 8207. Our objective, 81.90. So we are just above 81.90. I'm mentioning this now because this is bottom picking territory. Whether you're covering a short position you may have established some time ago, or you're actually looking at perhaps wanting to go long Deese, lean hogs, I think this is a broader market buy as well, not just for the Deese contract, but into Feb as well. 81.90, solid bottom picking territory through the rest of the year. From here, we can round up to 87.92 by the end of November, December, and over the next several months as we continue into later year and January, 95.70 is attainable over the next 2 to 3 months above 81.90. On the other hand, if we close below 81.90 on Friday, that sets off yet another, I would call this still a 3 to 5 week sell signal, by which point we would roll from Deese to Feb. But nonetheless, 75.05, a 3 to 5 week target. If we close this week below 81.90, 75.05 is a significant channel on the weekly charts that goes back about 2 years. It is fully able to contain selling on a seasonal, possibly into later 26 basis, and I would consider it a 3 to 5 week target with a settlement below 81.90. And on to the SPY, the S&P 500 Spider ETF. I've mentioned this a lot on your show only because we keep testing this 5.5 year channel top as it continues to climb through time. It is 673.29 this week. We've almost tested it today. Today's high, 672.21. We've tested it about 3 or 4 times over the last month. We back away modestly. There are all these news events that send the market south, but it springs right back to this channel top. And if we close above 673.29 on Friday, it does indeed need to be by a 1% margin. So that is 680.02. If we close there or higher on Friday, this market sets up another 3 to 5 month buy signal up to 745 even. Until then, 673.
Huh. I think we lost Kerry.
Gosh, I hope he's okay. 673.
Yeah, not only do I think we have, but I'm 60. Pretty sure that we have. Oh, there he is.
We got
Kerry back. Kerry, we lost you there for a second.
Oh, darn it. Was I gone for like 3 minutes or how long was I gone?
673. 673 was the last thing we heard.
673. Uh-oh. We may have lost Kerry again.
Yeah, it's not looking
Gosh,
good, is
Joe,
it?
What'd you say to him?
It's not looking good. Kerry, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate
it. You bet.
Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. You know what? There you go. If you want to get the rest of the S&P analysis, I believe they do it every day at wickedstocks.com. So head over there, take a look at what they are saying about the S&Ps. Mm-hmm. All right, National Weather Service, 6-10 day. You know, real quick, So while Kerry was talking about the lean hogs, I was looking at the daily chart.
Mm-hmm.
It took from August 14th to September 26th for that market to put on $10. And we have almost taken off $10 since that September 26 high.
Yeah.
I mean, we've almost retraced that entire move already. So,
it's what is that, 5-6 weeks to build it up, and then what, another
three
to give it back.
Yeah. Mm. But like Kerry was saying, I mean, this is becoming a spot where we need to, if you're a SPAC, you might be taking a look at getting onto the long side of that lean hog market. National Weather Service 6-10 day outlook, October 26th through the 30th. Above normal temperatures expected across the entire Corn Belt. Above normal precipitation expected over the entire Corn Belt. Highest odds of above normal precip, North Dakota, South Dakota, Northeast Nebraska, the northern half of Iowa, Minnesota. Okay, 8-14 day. Near normal temperatures expected in the eastern Corn Belt. Yeah, okay, the exception is far northern Illinois and Indiana, where above normal temperatures are in the forecast. But most of southeast Iowa, Missouri, and the eastern Corn Belt is looking at near normal temperatures. To the north and the west of that, above normal on the temperatures. And then near normal precipitation in the western belt, above normal in the northern and eastern belts. All right, thank you so much for listening today. Come back tomorrow morning, 10:06, for more AgriTalk.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Morning, Zoe. Got donuts.
Jeff Bridges, why are you still living above our garage?
Well, I dig the mattress, and I want to be in a T-Mobile commercial like you. Teach me, Sobella.
Oh, no, I'm not really prepared. I couldn't possibly.
At T-Mobile, get the new iPhone 17 Pro on them. It's designed to be the most powerful iPhone yet and has the ultimate pro camera system.
Wow, impressive. Let me try. T-Mobile is the best place to get iPhone 17 Pro because they've got the best network.
Nice, Jeffrey.
You heard them. T-Mobile is the best place to get the new iPhone 17 Pro on us with eligible trade-in in any condition.
So, what are we having for lunch?
Dude, my work here is done.
For 24 monthly bill credits on Experience Beyond for well-qualified customers plus tax and $35 device connection charge. Credits end and balance due if you pay off earlier. Cancel finance agreement. iPhone 17 Pro, 256 gigs, $1,099.99 and new line minimum $100 plus a month plan with auto pay plus taxes and fees required. Best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data 1H2025. Visit T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The government shutdown in day 20 impacting furloughed federal workers and Americans who rely on government services.